And isn't it wonderful to know that that prayer can be answered right now in this place because the presence of the Spirit of God is within everyone that is born again. We're asking him to fill the atmosphere, then you fill the atmosphere by allowing him to have his way in you in this place today. Oh Lord, let your presence have your way. Our scriptural affirmation today comes from the second chapter of Luke. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?
And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them.
And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Oh, dear Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. And we are so grateful that we can be here together with other believers to worship you and to praise you. Today, have your way in this place, in us. Let your presence flood this place. Let our awareness of you be at such a high level that today we will know that we know that we know we have met with the living God. Oh God, you are so very good and you're so very gracious. Have your way this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We think about that, the wonder, the beauty, the amazing thing that God has done on our behalf. The incredible way that he has loved us. And we get to celebrate. We get to celebrate it. The fact that we are a part of a body, we're told to remember, we're told to think about this, to think about what Jesus did. Think about it. He was born of a virgin, and we'll talk a little bit about that today. And he lived a sinless life. After about 30 years or so, this amazing thing. He had this ministry that was wondrous. It was really wondrous. I mean, he kicks it off by making water into wine, and he heals the lame, and he opens blind eyes, unstops deaf ears. He raises people from the dead, and he clearly declares that he is God. He was 100% God, 100% man. He was the way the Father chose to do something that needed to be done, which was take on the justified wrath of the Father so that our sins could be paid for. My sins paid for, your sins paid for, our sins paid for. It was just an amazing thing. I mean, without the payment of that, we could never, be with God forever. We didn't deserve it. It was an act of His grace. We couldn't earn it. It was His mercy. He loved us so very, very, very much, and He loves us even now, so that it is wise for us to remember what He's done, what has already been done, so that we can live. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, open your word to us today. Open this word so that we might think clearly about what you have already done, to think clearly about what you are doing, and to think clearly about what our response should be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we open the Word of God to the second chapter of Luke, we're going to start at verse 40. There's a question that kind of came up in my mind as I was going through this. Do we give ourselves and others room to mature into the call of God? You know, sometimes you can see something on someone and you say, that person is called to be this. You would just expect them to be able to do that and to do that perfectly right out of the gate. You know, if they're a good musician, they could be 9 years old, but you just expect them to pray for the Lord with passion and power and with all the right feeling and everything and all of that. And they may have the skill, they may have the calling, but there's still the process. I guess the question is, are we willing to allow the process to go on in our lives? You see, if there needed to be a process in Jesus' human life, certainly there needs to be a process in our life. You know, sometimes we think a person gets saved and they are just fixed. Everything about them is right and they're good, and you don't ever have to question anything that they say or do again because they're going to be perfection. Sorry, y'all ain't reached that yet. I certainly know I haven't. So let's look at this, because there are some questions that we need to answer along the way. We're going to start at verse 40 in the second chapter of Luke. And it says, and the child grew. He's talking about Jesus now. This young man, he was born, he was human, the human child grew. Now, he was always fully God, but he is now operating through a human body. And this child grew, and he waxed strong in spirit. He was a powerful presence. He was a special kind of guy, and you recognize that. He waxed strong, and he was filled with wisdom. He was a wise person. Even at a young age, you recognize that he had wisdom. It was obvious to the people that were looking on that he was a wise child. See, they not only recognized that he was wise, but they also recognized that he was a child. So he has this wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Some people just have favor with folks. And some people just seem to have a sense of the presence of God in their life. You ever recognize that in somebody else? There are some people who just say, that's a godly person. That person is something. In fact, one of the strangest things is to have someone say that about you, and you're scratching your head because you live with you. You know, they're saying, wow, man, you're just so godly, and you do just such nice stuff, and you're just going, well, thank you, I guess. And because you recognize that you are you, and you recognize that there are still things being worked on in you, being fixed in you, being shaped in you, even as it's obvious that you are God's person. You are born again. You have confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You believe it in your heart, and you're doing your best to live it out each day, but you recognize in the process of living it out each day, you ain't all that. There's just a reality that in the reality of life, there are still challenges that are going on, that you are still being sanctified. You are being changed from glory to glory. You're still being worked on. And after some of you all these years, there are still things that you are overcoming in your life. I know that there are things that I still overcome. There are still times, there are still those things that set me off. There are still those things that I don't do in a timely fashion. There are still those things where my thoughts are less than pure. There are still all of those things that God is working in me. He's working in me, and I am not always what I'm supposed to be, but I know that I'm better than yesterday. And that's only God's grace. We're changed from glory to glory to glory. And I'm not quite sure how it's going to look when it's all over, except I know that we will be like Jesus Christ, that he is changing us, he is fitting us, he is making us right for heaven. We are his righteousness, but he is now shaping and forming himself to be what he would have us to be, so that we can grow into the men and women that God would have us to be. But we are growing. We are growing. We have not arrived yet. Some of you are pretty special. I look at my wife and say, that's a special woman. But then every once in a while, I say, well, there's a little growth needed there. I don't do that out loud. And only from the platform where she can't attack me. But there's just this reality where we can do this thing. And so this child grew, and he grew strong in spirit, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, his parents, the people that were raising him, the people that were caring for him, the people that were fulfilling their mission in life by doing what they should for his life, when he was 12 years old, he's now on the precipice of becoming a man. In Jewish culture, you know, at 13, you are a man, and they give you a bar mitzvah, and you take on the mantle of manhood. Until then, you're still considered a child. And so he's learning what he should be to be a man, and he's 12 years old. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. This feast is the Passover. They went up to Jerusalem to show their dedication to God. They went up to Jerusalem to show whose they were. They went up to Jerusalem to demonstrate his goodness and grace in their life, to remember. The Passover was an amazing feast because it remembered the deliverance of the Jews out of Egypt. Imagine what it must have been like. Imagine how it was that they were being delivered out of bondage. And the 10th plague comes. And in that 10th plague in Egypt, it's the death of the firstborn. And for them to have the death angel pass over their household, there had to be blood placed over their home. The blood covered their home, and that delivered them. That allowed them to escape. That allowed them to escape what the Father was doing as he was showing his amazing self, as he was showing how great and wonderful he was, as he was showing he was all powerful. The blood was applied to their lives. The blood was applied to their lives. Has the blood been applied to your life? Is it over your life? And you were, as a Jew, to remember that year after year after year. It was serious. All of the men were to appear in Jerusalem to celebrate this feast of the Passover, and that's what his family was doing. They allowed Jesus to come up in an atmosphere where the things of God were remembered. Are the things of God remembered in your home? Are the things of God remembered in your life? Are the things of God being acknowledged on a regular basis in your life? Or are they just optional? So, verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days, they'd been there at least a week, and it was a time for them to go home. And as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. They had gone up probably in a large group. It was a pretty dangerous thing. You know, it was a drop of like 2,500 feet. Although they traveled south, it was physically uphill, and they were way above sea level, but by the time they would end their trip, they would be below sea level. It was a long trip, and it was a dangerous place. There's stories in the Bible about how someone could be mugged on that trip. It was a dangerous trip. And so they usually gathered a group of people together, so they all went up, and there was safety in numbers, and there would be family and friends, and it would be a kind of a festive atmosphere as they went up to Jerusalem. And here they were traveling home, and there was a strange thing. They lost the child. Have you ever been anywhere where you lost your child? You know, so I mean, sometimes you look around and you just expected that the baby was somewhere and they weren't. Now, and so it happens that way. And it happened in this case. And they decided it was time to eat, and they looked around to determine where things were, and he wasn't there. Now, mom freaked. Dad was going, "He's all right." But I shouldn't say that because that's not in the script. But the reality is that they were bothered by the fact that he wasn't there and they didn't know where he was, and they traveled a long way and it was a dangerous place and he was just 12. He might have been Jesus, but he was just 12. And so this 12-year-old has been left, and so they go looking for him. Verse 44 says, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now, there's a couple kinds of emotions going on here. There's fear that something has happened to him, and then there's fear that I'm going to do something to him when I do find him. You know, you can't do this, child. Or can you? This is really interesting. Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days, one day down, one day back, and then the third day, still looking for him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Whew. But the sight they saw when they found him made them go, whoa. Because they found him sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them. He was listening and paying attention. This 12-year-old was sitting there listening to these learned men talk about the Lord, and he was in the midst of them, and he was asking questions. You know, there's something you should notice when you're reading through the Gospels. Jesus asked lots of questions. He asked lots of questions. And he was showing that he's going to be doing that. Can you imagine a 3-year-old Jesus? Why does it do that? Well, it's because, oh no, I don't think that's quite it. I don't know. So that's why they don't tell us about 3-year-old Jesus, because we wouldn't understand. And all that heard him were astonished. I can imagine, you know, Mary and Joseph, they find him and they're going closer and closer to him, and they're hearing people whisper about their child. Wow, did you hear what he just said? Man, I wonder whose child that is. He's so young. I wonder how he knew all that stuff. And they're hearing this, and they're seeing all of these things. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, have you ever done this to your child? Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Why in the world did you do this to me? What was wrong with you that you would go this way? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. We were sad. We were upset because we couldn't find you. Why have you acted this way? Think about your own salvation. And once you got saved, maybe you didn't want to do something that you used to do. You didn't want to stay there drinking. You didn't want to go to that place. And your friends and family say, why are you doing this to us? Why are you putting us through this? Your children might say, you know, you're no fun. Why aren't we doing this? Your parents might say, well, this is a part of our family tradition. Are you just going to say no to our traditions? Why are you treating us this way? You see, sometimes your calling from God costs not only you, but those that are around you, especially those that don't understand. It costs something for you to do the right thing. It costs. And so they're asking him, "Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Why'd you do this?" And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not," didn't you know, in other words, "wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Joseph's going, "What am I, chop liver?" This is a tough thing. They had to stop and consider who he was at that point. Sometimes you have to stop and consider who your mate is or who your child is and realize that there's a calling on their lives. And they are in the process of fulfilling that. They're in the process of learning how that works. They're in the process of seeing the effect of that. You're in the process. You're being changed. And some of the things that you are called to do or not to do will affect people around you. And you've got to know who you are and what you are called to do so that you might be able to share with the world, share with your friends, share with your family, "I'm doing this because it is the calling that I have from God." Jesus grew up knowing who he was. There had been prophecies when he was just a baby about the fact that he was the Messiah and that he was going to be for salvation. He knew that he had some special work to be done. Even though he was young, he knew that there was something that was going to happen. And now he's sitting with the doctors, he's sitting with the learned people, trying to understand how that works out in this human body, how that goes. Are you trying to discover what it takes for you to be the wife that you're supposed to be? Are you trying to figure out what it takes for you to be the father that you're supposed to be? Are you working it out what it means to be you according to God? God has a calling on your life. Jesus knew what his calling was, and it never seemed to occur at the moment that Mary and Joseph wouldn't get it. "Hey, it seems like it's time for me to know what it means to be a man. It seems like it's time for me to be about the business that God has called me to." And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. They didn't get it. You need to understand that when you start serving God, there are going to be people that do not get it. You may have to reassess how you are serving God. You may have to think about it. They don't get this. I wonder why. I wonder, is it me? Am I in the wrong place? Or are they not getting it because they're lost or they have a bad idea of things? You know, one of the most frustrating things is to know what you're supposed to do, but do it at the wrong time. You ever do that? I've done that. I can remember years ago, I was fairly young in the ministry, and my thing was to lead praise that day. And I was supposed to do it at a particular point. Well, that point came, and I jumped up and led praise, and there were some really sour looks out there. I did exactly what they had told me to do. It was in line with my calling. I didn't think I did such a bad job, but boy, afterwards, I was heavily criticized. Why? because the timing wasn't right. My timing was off. You got to know when and how and why and even if to do. So they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. He looked and assessed the situation and says, I am still under their authority. I am still the child. And because I'm the child, then I will go where they tell me to go. Because you are who you are, maybe you're an employee that you do the work that you've been called to do. Maybe you're a husband, then you protect and care for your family. Maybe you're a child, then you are under the authority of your parents. Maybe you're this, maybe you're that, but whatever it is, you do all as unto the Lord. He went down and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. She'd been treasuring up a whole bunch of things that she'd been told about this child, and this was just another of those incidents. So she knew there was a time coming when he was going to bust out into a ministry that would be so amazing, it would change the whole world. What God wants to do in your life is going to affect everyone around you, but you must prepare for it and you must approach it in the right way. You be subject when you should be subject. And when it's time to break out, you'll know. He'll show you. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Please do not get this twisted. There's a whole thing called open theism out there that would have you think that God is a learning God. There were some things that he didn't know. No, Jesus was a child who became a man, and while he was fully God, he veiled himself off from the prerogatives of his deity to experience life as a man. While still being fully God, he experienced life as a man so that he could honestly say that he knows how you feel. He knows where you hurt. He knows your pain. He knows, not only does he know it intellectually, he has gone through all of the stuff that you had. He was tempted in every way, but without sin, making him the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God. And because he was the perfect Lamb of God, if you would confess that he is your Savior and Lord, then today you can join us in the Lord's Supper. You can join us in communion. You can join us as we celebrate his goodness, as we celebrate his grace. You can join us because he is good. He did the process. There's a process that's happening for all of us. There's a process. Are you willing to be a part of the process? Sometimes the process is painful. I want you to understand that it hurts sometimes. But you grow. And you're changed. And you're being fit for something that is so wonderful. so wonderful. Not an ounce of your pain will be wasted. He loves us. And he's called us to himself. And he's trying to get you and I to respond to him in a way that will allow us to enjoy him forever. And ever, and ever, and ever. He's a good God. There's none other like him. But submit yourself to his word, to his way, to his will. Today we will involve in a process that we call the Lord's Supper or communion. And what we're doing is remembering the life, the human life of Jesus Christ on this earth. He did that without sin. And we remember that he died on the cross. And in that process, he paid for all of my sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. He did that for us. So if you're in agreement that you are a part of the body of Christ, that you have been born again, and that if you will confess all of your sins, that doesn't take long. I confess my sin. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin, all of it, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Be cleansed today, right now. Receive it. It's a gift, a free gift. Receive it. If you receive that gift, then you are welcome to have the communion with us today. We have them in these neat little things, cups, and they have the wafers on top, so you peel that off. That'll be the bread, and then under that is the juice. And let's see if we can do this without spilling it today.